Welcome back, AfterBuzz, to the Sorry for Your Loss After Show. It's the season finale, and is Lee losing her mind? Stay tuned for more.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
This beat always catches me off guard.
I know, so, like, we always say it, but it's so true. It's so upbeat for our more...
It's a sad show.
Sad show.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I am your host, Shay Jones, and unfortunately D'Angelo is not here. He wished he could be, but you know, it's girls' night for the season finale for Sorry for Your Loss. I am with my amazing co-host. She watched the entire first season of Sorry for Your Loss in a day, in a couple hours, maybe?
I have that power, yeah.
Yeah, and she's amazing, and you were just tears all the time, right? The entire time you were watching.
Yeah, I'm a crybaby, so yeah.
And I am an Elizabeth Olsen stan. I love Elizabeth Olsen. I think she's very talented. And I am so excited for WandaVision. It's going to be lit. But we're talking about the season finale titled, I'm Still Here. Now, Danny is finally going to therapy. Jules is finally going to Vietnam. And Mom has finally returned home. We're going to get into so much conversation. And I really cannot wait to hear what Haley has to say today. You have no idea how excited I am. But first, we're going to start with the more upbeat topic. Mom's home. Yay. We've been asking where she is, and she's finally here. How did you feel?
It's about freaking time. She comes home. Who goes to Alaska for that long?
It was a little month, 2 months.
That's a long time to be in Alaska. What is there to
Have
do
you ever
in Alaska?
Been to Alaska?
No, and I don't plan on it because there's nothing to do.
I think the people in Alaska might disagree.
For 2 months, no. Maybe for 4 days.
Wow. Just enough time to get cold and then get back on the plane.
Yeah.
You're funny. Well, she had an amazing time. Apparently, the town she was in only had 800 people, which is very small, and she got to know everybody. And she had friends, which I think was a big deal for her because she spent so much of her time as being a grown-up raising her two daughters and not actually making other female or adult friends.
Yeah, she didn't have a life.
She didn't have a life. So now she got a life. You know, she woke up to the sunrise and the sunset. And when it happens in Alaska, I'm assuming the time she was there were doing when it was still light out and not darkness.
Yeah, I'm happy she got this time to herself.
Yes. But it seems like she wants to continue to have that time to herself in a sense.
Oh, yeah. Homegirl, like, her life has changed after Alaska, I guess. Maybe she should just move back.
Which it seems almost an option. We'll get to, like, what happened a little bit later. But it seems like she, you know, she wants to give Jules the studio. She wants to, like, in a way, push them to be their better selves. Because she can see the transformation that Jules did with the studio, and it was vibrant.
Yeah, I saw that, but then I also think she doesn't want to deal with it anymore. You know what I mean? I think, like, the mom is just kind of done with life. As in, like, that aspect of it.
Yeah, I would say she's now trying to figure out her second act.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like, whatever it's going to be, I think this is her for her. I'm trying to find out what my second act is going to be now that I am better in my life and where I'm supposed to be spiritually and I'm actually happy. Mm-hmm. And I mean that's also going to be tough for your grown children.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to that.
You enabled them to be this way.
Pretty much.
And she's even having, she almost slipped back into it with Jules, with saying she doesn't have to go to Vietnam.
She did, yeah. But only because I feel like she thinks maybe Jules didn't really want to go.
But she does. Yeah, but Jules is a grown woman at the end of the day.
True. Well, but about that conversation, I found it interesting. Jules said, I would love to stay here. I would love to run the studio. I would love to be in a relationship with my girlfriend. But I have to go.
Yeah.
Like, just the phrasing of the words. Like, as much as this is what I want, it's more... I want it, but I need to do something else first to be ready and to be more prepared to come back and to take over this from you.
That was honestly, bravo to Jules, because I didn't like her.
Oh, at the
I did not like her at the beginning of the whole series, but now she's, like, my favorite character.
But I think it shows an evolution of her character, of everything she's been through.
She's grown.
She's grown. At this point, both daughters are both grown, and they're definitely dealing with two different scenarios in their lives. And we had Tommy come over, which was the cutest little thing. She gave her a little money money protection.
Like a fanny pack.
It was a fanny pack, but like people actually do that in like when they go to Europe, when they go to Spain. You know, you put your little money and everything, you tuck it underneath your clothes. So if you're riding on a Vespa or a motorcycle, no guy can come just snatch it while you're walking or something.
I thought it was cute, but then I had a problem with it.
What was your problem?
That like you totally just like read her last week and now you want to come back and give her a fanny pack and date her again. There's nothing has changed in between the week that they've been apart. She's still the same person. Why do you want to date her?
She wanted to date her before. I don't, her feelings for Jules never changed. That's the thing. Just because I read you your rights and tell you some truth doesn't mean my feelings for you went away or that I didn't feel them or that they weren't real in the first place. It just means that you have to do some work on yourself too. Like you, I don't want you to, in a way, be like your mom was to you for a second. I want you to know who you are. Like, we're two separate individuals. Even if we are, we could become one in a relationship. We are still two different people. And we're going to want two different things.
Yeah, Jules does not need to date her right now. She needs to go to Vietnam, figure herself out.
I felt, it was interesting when she said she didn't buy a return flight. She bought a one-way ticket to Vietnam. She doesn't know how long it's going to take her to find her birth mom.
Yeah.
Who she's going to discover about herself. But Tommy's face, like, I almost felt bad because she was like, oh, like, I didn't want you, like, to leave my life in, like, for however long you're going to go, like, for a month or two, 3 months, 6 months.
Yeah. Tommy is going to, do you think she's going to wait?
I'm a real hopeless romantic sometimes, so I can hope. That doesn't always mean I'm going to get my wish. What about you? What would Haley do, actually?
What would Haley do? If I was Tommy?
Yeah.
Haley wouldn't wait. Haley would figure herself out, but then I wouldn't, like, be, like, no to the date and stuff.
I mean, I love the fact that actually my prediction in a way was right, even though you guys did not like it. Like, they could still either be friends or go back into a relationship when she comes back.
They don't need to be friends. They need to date. I want them to date. Just not right now.
Okay. I like that statement, because it's just like, they could date. They could date other people, too, before they get back together as well.
I would do that.
Date other people. Mm-hmm. And then if you know that when you get back to the States and you know, and you find yourself and you're like, oh, hey, Tommy, I looked you up. I love that it was so cute. She's like, no matter how long you are or whenever that is, come find me.
Yeah, I would have never have said that to her. But that's me. I think they're really cute and I want them to be like endgame.
I do too. I think they're good for each other. But mm-hmm. Jules has to figure out what she saw her mom do and that interfere with her relationship.
Yeah.
I should say, because in a way she started to become a little bit like her mom in the sense of over controlling and trying to take over and trying to steer you in the way that you believe that's right for the person.
Yeah, and I'm happy she sees that about herself.
Yes. I thought that was very, like, a lot of growth that we've seen Jules in this entire season. Mm-hmm. She's come a long way from breaking a knee.
The season of growth.
Season of growth. I like that. And now we're going to go up to Danny.
Oh, gosh.
Danny's moved back into his place. Mm-hmm. He is not at the beach anymore. He's back to reality, in a sense. And him and his mom have a real conversation. But in a way, I'm not trying to put this on her, but just continually saying that I'm the only one you have left, I feel not weird about it, but it's just, even if I'm Danny, I understand I am the only one you have left. I'm not trying to alienate you. I'm not trying to make bad choices or poor choices in my life. But that also doesn't help that you keep saying it.
I understand where she's coming from. I don't think she knows that he feels, like, that guilty about. Yeah. I think in, like, reality, she losing a child is so traumatizing mm-hmm. that you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose another one.
Yeah.
So I think she says that to him to get in his head, don't do anything stupid. That could leave me alone.
Yes.
Because she doesn't have her husband anymore either.
Yeah, she lost her husband first, then Matt, and now she only has Danny.
Yeah, I feel bad for her.
I do. I mean, I also feel bad for Danny because when he goes to he finally goes to therapy, he has a therapy session, and we learn a little bit more, even if it's a lot more silent conversation than anything else, because he's rambling.
Yeah.
And he went off on a whole tangent about Alanis Morissette's Ironic mm-hmm. and being confused with, like, I don't know if I'm using it right. And the lady's just kind of, like, staring at him.
Like, what is he saying?
Like I understand. Like, I feel like she understands what he's trying to say, but as a more of a defensive thing. Like, if I'm talking about this, I don't have to actually talk about the real reason why I'm here type of way.
Yeah.
But then he gets a little bit surreal, like, how he started talking about how it's ironic that Matt always wanted me to go to therapy about my anger towards my dad, but now I'm here because I'm angry at Matt.
Yeah. And I wrote it down what he said, actually, like, after. He said, if I was a different person, my brother would still be alive.
And when he said that, my heart broke for him a little bit.
Yeah, that's so sad, because at the end of the day, he didn't kill his brother.
No. We don't know what actually killed Matt. What led him, Matt, what led him to that cliff.
Yeah, but it's still not his fault, either way.
Yeah. I mean, it's, in a way, I feel like for Danny, it's also experiencing survivor's guilt.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And survivor's guilt is, even whether it's a sibling or your friend, somebody you're really, like, deeply emotionally attached to, you feel a little bit guilty that you're still alive when they're not. Because how can you enjoy your life when they're not here to enjoy theirs? And did I contribute to the fact that they maybe committed suicide? Maybe that's the reason they were on that trail, or that, you know, the cliff that they were on. And if I did, that's like, I feel like he's had such a heavy burden, he needs so lifted from his shoulders.
Do you think that he says that because he needs, like, someone to put the blame? Because if Matt did kill himself, he has no idea, like, why, like, what was the reason for that. But if he says, I'm the reason, it's somewhere to put that curiosity in a way.
I get what you're saying about the blame, but like you said, but if Matt actually did do it, then that means you're putting the blame on Matt. And I don't think that's, like, as angry as he is towards Matt, I don't think he never wants to do that at the same time.
Like, if Matt killed himself, it's not his fault.
Yeah, but then, also in his mind, if it's not Matt's fault, then it can't be my fault. But he hasn't made that jump there yet.
Yeah, he needs to, though. But I'm happy he's going to therapy for it.
I think that it's very smart. It's like seeing his own growth through the season,
mm-hmm.
finally getting help. And it's okay to talk to somebody else, especially someone who has no relation to you, knows nothing about your life, because they can bring an outside perspective to you in a way that you can be, it's compassionate, but also hits you hard enough where you realize, okay, like, you'll start to, like, actually take it in.
Yeah.
And then Lee is doing some of her own.
My poor girl.
Soul searching. Lord have mercy.
And I kind of blame Danny for this. It's his fault this is happening to her.
We've kept discussing this for, like, the last, what, 3-4 half the shows?
But, like, he really just hit, like, the nail in the coffin for this.
No, I feel like it was more of, like a drop of water. Like, it was legit. Somehow, some way, Matt's spirit, presence, whatever you want to call it, was always going to come in a way to Lee. Mm-hmm. It was like, but that, it was the tipping point. But I feel like something was always going to happen, whether Danny said something or not.
But that, like, reinforced my belief that they should not be together. Like, this whole episode just, like, really just told me there's no way that they need to be together.
I think they can be together, like, later. Like, not now. Like, when they've both done their own soul searching, both have grown more into the people they want to be without Matt's shadow, like, in a way, suffocating them.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, such a harsh word to say, suffocating, but in a way it is.
The memory.
The memory is suffocating them both in different ways. And in this episode, Lee actually confronts Nina.
Oh, my gosh.
And I caught that, first of all.
Let's be real quick. you did call it. I was like, there's no way she's going to go to that school.
I'm sorry. If that was me and I just found out this information,
would you have thrown hands?
I wouldn't. Like, I'm a grown woman. I don't need to throw no hands.
I would have thrown hands.
However.
That's just me, though.
I'm a grown woman. I personally don't need to throw no hands. Like, I'm a kid fighting over a toy. The toy's not even here no more, so it doesn't even matter, personally.
I would have thrown hands after she tried to hold my hand.
I might have slapped her. Okay, I take it. So this is what happens. So Lee goes to Nina, and she asks her a question, specifically, what were you to my husband? Mm-hmm. And she said nothing. She kept saying nothing. But then she goes into this, not monologue, but in a way, this looks a little soliloquy about how Matt made her feel.
Yeah.
And in a way, it almost made it seem like she was the widow.
That got me so hot. I was so angry watching, like, how are you going to vent, like, your feelings to his wife like that?
Right. I mean, granted, Lee asked, but at the same time, She, and Lee, when she tried to reach her for her hand, Lee like pulled back and jerked. She's like, "We are not friends. You were his friend. I was his wife.
Yeah.
We are not sharing the same experience."
That made me so angry, guys. Like, I was really angry at her.
Which is true. I mean, they're not sharing the same. If we want to say they're sharing the same experience, even though Nina wasn't technically a mistress, should we call her that for the purpose
did they hook up?
No.
Then she wasn't. She was infatuated with him.
They're both infatuated with each other. But she also didn't act stupid when Lee came in and asked her the question. Like, she actually recognized that there was something actually happening also between her and Dan. I mean, her and Matt at the same time.
She's not the mistress. She's like what could have been.
Okay, so yeah, she's the what could have been.
Yeah, mistress.
So I legit wouldn't call her the mistress. I'm sorry.
Okay, we can call her the mistress if you want.
Without the actual mistress,
she would have been if he kept living. There's no way that they wouldn't have slept together.
It would have popped off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I love Nina. Up until this point, I was just like, girl, she lost her husband. She had more years with him than you did. How dare you try to compare?
Mm-hmm.
As if you, like, yourself just lost a husband. Like, this is not a widow support group. I just wanted to know what was happening between you and my husband. And though I'm glad he made you feel special. Maybe that was a personality trait where he actually did, like, he did impact other people's lives.
Yeah.
And that way, I can understand. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad that he meant something to you. But you didn't sleep in the same bed with him. You didn't have breakfast with him. You didn't, you know, go to the movies together and laugh over stupid memes or something.
You didn't see him depressed.
Awesome.
Like, you didn't see his hardships.
You didn't see the bad parts that were in our relationship as well. So how dare you try to say that we're the same person?
Yeah.
We're not experiencing the same thing. And I think that also was another... Danny telling Lee, I feel like was a drop. But Nina trying to compare the experience was a tip over.
Nina lost her freaking mind. I wanted to slap her.
I mean, in a way, I understand she was trying to be compassionate, but it was like completely left field and completely just inappropriate.
Yeah, it's like she's been waiting for somebody to ask her this, and she's like... let it all out on her.
Yeah. And Lee's like, I am not the right person for this.
Yeah.
Like, I am really not the correct person for this, and for you to unveil. That
really screwed her up.
Oh, yeah. Her dream of Nina and Matt being in the house that she and Matt shared, having dinner, talking about their day, drinking wine.
That made me so angry.
Like, what could have been. This is what could have been if Matt was still alive, maybe. And me and him were over. Me and him were divorced or separated at this point.
This is why I'm mad at Danny, because she would have never have known this if he would have, like, shut his mouth.
I would like to point out this. So while she's with her friend, like, in last week's episode, she said, I will never hate him.
Yeah, I don't think she will hate him.
She said, I hate myself and I hate him.
Oh, never mind then. Well, you know what? You can say things and not mean them.
But she didn't mean it last week. But she would never hate him.
I hate that this is happening, because I don't like Matt anymore, because I hate when people make others question if they are loved and if that, like, you love them. That's one of the worst feelings in the world.
I don't think Danny was... they both know Matt loved her. However, he did have information that she didn't know. And when you're...
I mean, with Matt, like...
Yeah. Wait, which...
Like, I'm angry that she... Like, Lee is now questioning if Matt... really loved her, because he's dead and she'll never know.
True. I mean that's also part, I mean, that's gonna be a part of her journey and her growth, because the love you did have love, whether he might have thought about something more with Nina or not. He loved me for what I had with him. I mean, granted, it's that's a long road, and that's a long, long down road nobody wants to go down.
Yeah.
Because it's a downward spiral that you might not get out of.
And she has no one, like, he's not, that sucks, he's not here. She's going to have to do this by herself.
I mean...
Well, of course, with the support of, like, her sister family, and her mother.
Yeah. But it's going to be a long road, and, you know, she has a mini breakdown to Jules.
Oh, gosh.
And she's like, maybe I should buy a ticket, maybe I should go... you know, go somewhere else, be someone else. But running from the problem isn't going to help you.
Yeah.
It's not. It really won't help you at all. And so she decides to go with Jules to Vietnam, and they make it not more than 200 feet.
It was like the car. The girl tried to turn a corner, and she was like, stop the effing car.
Like, she freaked out. Yeah. She saw Matt's present and his voice saying, like, I'm still here. And then she just runs back to her mom and it's like having this panic attack, breakdown, tears, sobbing to her mom, saying, like, she can still feel him. He won't leave me alone.
Yeah, she used to have good dreams about him. Now, like, he's a nightmare.
But I think for me, that was my part about saying she also needs to realize there are bad parts to Matt, too. I'm not saying it shouldn't have, maybe not in the same way that she's dealing with now. However, she has to also get to those bad parts, too, and not just only focusing on the positive ones.
Yeah. My whole thing with that is, like, who wants to focus on, like, bad things about somebody that's dead? I understand acknowledging them, but, like...
Okay, let me rephrase. She should acknowledge them, at least. But she, okay. I think because she's refused to acknowledge them so far, I think she needed the wake-up call to acknowledge there were parts of Matt that either drove her crazy or that he wasn't as good as she believed. And, that, I mean, that just made him human. That didn't make him less than or not. He was just a human person.
She really ain't feeling him after this. I feel so bad for her.
It's crazy, like, watching her break down and sob to her mom and, like hearing his voice and just, the camera just on her eyes was beautiful. And just hearing him, like, still, like, whisper almost, like, I'm still here, I'm still here. And watching that scene, to me, that just meant his presence is there because you need to talk to him. Like, even if, like, he's not here, maybe his presence somehow is still here. And talking to the dead person is healthy. It can legit get you to the other side. It might seem weird to a lot of people, but talking to the dead is helpful to your own growth and your own spirituality and moving on. It's a process.
Okay. I've never done it, but I'm gonna take your word for it. It doesn't sound bad.
What do you think about her dealing now, like, saying, like, you know, he's still here and him not leaving her alone? What did that make you feel?
It made me feel so, like, I hate that she has to go through this. Because it's, like, can you imagine loving somebody so much, and then they die, and then when you think of them, you're happy, and now it's, like, a nightmare, and, like, they're haunting you?
For me, it's weird. I mostly see the people I know who've died in, like, my dreams, and then I don't realize it, like, that I've dreamt them until I wake up. It's, like, an eerie thing.
Yeah, but are they, like, haunting you, though?
It was a weird one, like, with my dad. It wasn't a haunting so much as it was just, like, it felt eerie.
Okay.
And I can't really remember all the details. I know he was there, and I know I was having conversations with him. What they were at this point, I can't remember when I woke up, but for a moment it was like, okay, I felt you, I saw you, and that was nice. But also it was eerie because it wasn't as happy as the other times I dreamt of him. And I couldn't explain why.
Okay.
Like, he was trying to tell me something, but I couldn't get it.
But you've never had, like, a Lee moment.
Like, actually seeing them...
in the middle of the street.
No, like, my most of stuff happens in my dreams. So when I see them, I legit see them when I'm dreaming. I've never actually hallucinated them in front of me, I don't think.
I almost started to cry, though, because when she was running in the street...
That was just... Oh, my gosh. That was heartbreaking.
I felt that.
I've experienced that in my life, too. Like, you just, like, you want to get away from everything. You think if you keep running...
towards that person...
away from it, like, yeah, like running away from it, like, it'll make the pain, it'll make the crying, it'll make all the overwhelming things that you're feeling go away, but it doesn't. And then as soon as it hits you, you have nothing to do but, like, actually, like, fall to the ground and let it, like, wash over you.
Thank God her mom was there.
That is true. Like, still in the street, still on the still on the sidewalk.
She didn't have enough time to go in the house.
The car didn't go far.
Yeah.
And then Jules is, like, just peeking out the car, like, kind of like, Lee, where are you going? Like,
girl, you good?
What's happening?
Yeah.
But, like, seeing Matt in the street was, like, surreal, even as a viewer.
I thought he was alive at first. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, he's here. He's not.
He's not. But I think it's a nice play on, like, death in a way, in the sense that just because a person physically might not be here, spiritually is a whole different ballgame.
Like, they never leave you type of thing?
Yeah. Like, they never leave you, or they stay with you to get a message to you. They want you to move on. They want you to learn something, know something. So they can't leave. They can't even be at peace yet, in a way.
Yeah. It's interesting because I thought, like, Lee was going to go down a whole different, like, journey this season. I thought she was going to be good. I didn't know this was going to happen. She had progress. She was walking in downtown LA.
16 miles, yeah. Lady. That was some power.
Yeah, and now she's walking. Over here crying in the street.
But it's also, I think, it's like she said, I forgot in what episode, the process starts all over again. Like, you think you're good, you think you're in a good place, and then something, some smell, some photograph, some clothing, would just, like, swoop you right back in.
It's like, it can, like, take over, like, your whole day.
Yeah.
Or her life for right now.
And she has made progress. Let's be real clear. Lee has made a lot of progress.
Yeah.
But there are also aspects of her progress that she also isn't acknowledging or dealing with. And that doesn't help your process at all. That means you do keep starting over. Because until you acknowledge the whole, they're going to be missing pieces.
I think she has to learn that it'll never truly be, like, she'll never truly get over
Matt.
Yeah.
And that's, like, fine.
She's trying to be somebody that she was before, yeah. Like, he died. And, then, like, the real thing is, once, like, that happens to you, you're changed forever. That's not going to, that person that, like, she was before is never going to come back. And she needs to learn that.
Yeah. And she can find ways to be
happy.
Good and be a good person, because she, during one of her breakdowns to her friend, though I felt a little bit bad, even though he kind of experienced the same thing too with his before fiance cheating on him, but like they worked it out. But she kind of shut it down in a way, saying like, you only kind of experience what I'm experiencing right now. Like, I get you're angry, Lee, but that doesn't mean you also just shut down your friend like that.
In reality, he doesn't know. Did his fiance die?
No.
Then he doesn't know.
Yeah, but
you can try to relate to somebody as much as you want to, but like, true. You don't know what that person is going through.
But finding out about that, about the fiance or before fiance possibly cheating on you or actually having the affair, mm-hmm. that he can relate to. He's not trying to relate in the sense of, oh, I your husband died, but I do know that feeling of the shock.
I know, but the thing is with her, I hate that, because she, like, he has the ability to go to his fiance and talk to him about it. Lee doesn't. Like, yeah. That's always going to beat the back of her head when she thinks of him now.
This episode is so
I
good,
wish
though.
I would have never have learned about this. I wish, like, honestly, why did Matt have to be such an, I almost cursed. Why does he have to do this to her? He's dead, but like, so.
And he's human, and sometimes, especially when you're dead, your secrets do come out. Like, nothing ever done in the dark ever stays that way for long.
By your brother. Danny kind of did him dirty by that.
I mean, she needed to know. I'm sorry. I am on the side of that. She needed to know.
I don't know.
I'm sorry if that makes me wrong, but I really feel like she really needs to know.
I don't think you're wrong. I wouldn't have wanted to know.
I would want to know. Like, I would rather know the information so that I can start processing that. Because if I never know it, and I'm always just thinking of the good things, even if I found out something else, like, it didn't even have to be this particular thing. I could have found out something else about Matt that you knew that I didn't.
That's maturity that you have that I don't. I wouldn't have wanted to know.
I mean, me now wants to know. I don't know about, like, like, maybe earlier in my 20s, I have no idea what that Shay would have wanted. But me, Shay, now, I like to know where I stand with people. I don't like to play games. I don't have the time or the energy for it.
Okay.
But guys, before we get out of here, we're going to jump into our special segment real quick. And then we have some news and gossip by Haley. So it is actually such a thing that sensing the dead is perfectly normal and other, like, just helpful in a way. Celine Dion recently revealed that she still senses the presence of her husband, even though he died from cancer in January 2016. Now, according to a specialist, 12% people who experience, such experience can encourage people to talk to their lost loved ones, which is a study found 12% did. The talking can be accomplished by feeling that the dead of the spouse is listening. And those who do often deal with widowhood better than those who don't talk to their dead spouses or spouses. I thought those were actually interesting.
I thought that was interesting too. I don't know a lot of people that just like do that. I don't know a lot of widows, to be honest with you, but, it makes sense.
Yeah. And then Haley has news.
Yes. So this news, I kind of just wanted, I think it's important. So if you go on like Facebook and you go like to the side of where the video is that you watch, you can see comments.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth Olsen, and I keep forgetting the sister's name.
Oh, Kelly Marie Tran.
Yeah, love her. Star Wars. they were talking about how their fandom is more like a support group, which I thought is very important. So if, like, you feel like you want to say something, and you can honestly just type in, like, your comment at the side, and you can read other people's. And I've read some of them. They're actually, like, a lot of people are talking to each other, and they're helping each other, which I think is really cool.
I think that's a great thing about this show as well. It can be a support group for other people who don't feel like they can talk to people in person. Yeah. It gives them the platform to talk to each other online, and it feels not so much in your face. Then it will be talking to another person. So shout out to Sorry for Your Loss for creating such an amazing show and actually really exploring the levels of grief that everybody deals with every day.
Yeah.
So guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Sorry for Your Loss After Show. This is our season finale because we don't know about season 3 just yet. But Haley, can you tell the people where they can find you?
Hey guys, you can find me everywhere at Haley Matthews. I also want to give a big shout out to our producer, Steph.
Yeah.
You can find her everywhere at Steph Sabral.
She is the supporter of all queens, and we always support her as well. You guys can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find me at the High School Musical, the musical, the series after show right after this at 8 p.m. Thank you guys so much, and have a great night and happy holidays.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.